Because out of the body language, you can even read and understand more if you only listen to what they are saying.
Hi, I am your host, Raquel Ark, and welcome to your Listening Superpower podcast. This show opens your mind on ways to transform challenging conversations into opportunities for clarity, connection, and ease at work and at home. Discover how to grow your listening superpower to help you become a more effective communicator. Be inspired by conversations with authors, scientists, and leaders that will help you grow your leadership toolbox with strategies that you can use right away. Let's work smarter and feel better with our listening superpower. In this episode of your Listening Superpower podcast, you will enjoy listening to how Benjamin Achenbach has navigated the challenges of entrepreneurship. He shares a story about how he learned to listen to his inner voice amidst a family crisis that wiped his slate clean. Benny is a sports enthusiast, a proud father of three, and the vice president of people and culture at Just Spices. He shares his experience around heart-led leadership and decision-making. Not only do we talk about fostering inclusive workplace cultures, our conversation transcends business, exploring resilience, self-awareness, and the pursuit of happiness. Enjoy listening in. Welcome to the Listening Superpower podcast, Benny. It is a pleasure to have you here with us today.
Thank you for inviting me to this super interesting podcast. And I'm very happy to be with you this morning on a Friday, rainy day so far.
Well, I was thinking about how we met, and it was almost a year ago, and we had both been to a Wim Hof expedition in Poland, and we were on our way home, and we met on the airplane and happened to sit close to each other. And I remember that was really nice because that was such a unique experience. And the time that we had our conversation together gave us a chance to reflect on things, and that helped me to really anchor the experience. So I just want to thank you for your listening.
Yeah, thank you as well. And just can confirm it was, so the Wim Hof experience was super special, amazing, with such a depth. And then, you know, the funny thing is we spent, I think it was 6 days or something in Poland together, although we didn't meet there, right? We met first time on the airplane. You were sitting behind me, but we kind of, I think already, I realized when you passed by my seat, well, could that be someone who was also at the Poland Wim Hof experience? And then we got to know each other, and that was super nice for reflection, yeah. What happened during the Poland experience. Yeah.
So that brings us to the topic of listening. I always start these interviews with a question. And that question is, when did you first start to notice the power of listening, whether it worked or it didn't?
Well, when you reflect about this question, for me, there are different clouds that are coming up. And as you're mentioning, so there are definitely styles of how it's really also what I'm experiencing and seeing a lot is people not being there in the sense of not being present, being very unconscious. And take, for example, the question, which I hear a lot, alles gut? So how are you? Is everything fine? And then people pretend or just out of the unconsciousness answer, everything is great. So alles ist gut, which is, as I'm perceiving, I would say a lot of times not the real or the most truest answer which you could give. And then finally, people just accept the answer as it is. So then I'm questioning whether the question itself, how are you, is truly meant, or what is it supposed to be? It's just a question what we do in society, right? So how are you? That's it. So that is what I'm observing a lot. And then when it comes to really active listening power, and I don't want to go into much methodology here, but I think what is a true power is to be present in the present moment. So as we are now talking and we are in this interview, really keep focusing and being there and here now and enjoying the moment and listen to what the other is saying, and also silencing all your thoughts and everything that is happening on the left and on the right and so on. So be there. It can be true power. And we haven't talked about any super techniques here yet, but being present might be one tool.
So I was just curious, can you think of a moment where this presence had an impact on you and your listening, whether you were the one who was present or whether someone was present with you?
I was reflecting about the last year, the end of last year, when I was in the mountains with my family and, you know, being very near to nature, and we were just enjoying the time. And I was reflecting about last year, and then I was thinking about next year's resolutions. And there can be a lot, you know, well, going to the gym 20 times within January, for example, and so on. I mean, we all know that, right? And then we forgot about it in February, March, and then we might realize in summer again, well, there was something, and yeah. I didn't want to go for another let's go for a 21 day challenge or so. What I reflected about and what I'm truly aiming at this year and now 26 days is being here in the moment. And you are asking me for a special occasion or a special situation where I can see where I, for example, use this active listening skills. I take a meeting from yesterday where we had a hybrid meeting during the day for 2 hours. So and then you can easily, if you want, because it's hybrid, you can easily not listen to other people. Of course, if you have like 20 people meeting in this hybrid meeting, it's easy to go onto your smartphone meanwhile, doing something else and so on. But I truly like not only listening to what people say, but even listen to their body language. That is super interesting, because out of the body language you can even read and understand more if you only listen to what they are saying. Yes, so it's it starts with your with the intent of doing what you're doing, reflecting about what you're doing, because listening is part of your being.
Yeah, noticing beyond the words, people's nonverbals, their facial expressions, how they're breathing, their coloring. Sometimes people get red. but those do inform a lot. And there's so much information there. It is so rich.
It's super rich. Isn't it, in the end, that all of us as human creatures want to be loved and understood?
Yeah, it's very simple often.
and if that is the case, so why don't we try to understand each other better? And yeah, if we want to understand each other better, then we should listen to what people want to express.
Yeah.
But not only, I think, and then if you truly want to understand and listen and understand, of course you can challenge the thoughts of other people. But I think first of all, respect what's being said, and try to understand, and then reflect and come back with an answer. And if you're now asking me whether I'm following this path all the time, I can say no, because I'm also not always conscious, right? But I'm trying. That's why I'm saying it's also important what you want to do in life and what you're intending to do in life and what's your why and your purpose of being here, and reflect about it a lot, right? So if you attend a meeting, reflect about your way of acting and being there. And I mean, there are a bunch of methodologies and tools that you can use to also reflect about yourself, which might help to improve your listening skills at the same time, right?
Is there a particular methodology that has helped you?
So what I'm using a lot at the end of the day, I'm calling it a Rucksack Methode, which is
a backpack method.
Backpack method. And I'm asking me three questions. So the reason why it's a backpack, because I related a bit to the book of, or the books of John Stolecki, which relates to the Life Museum and all the moments that you can carry and put into your old life museum. That's one part. But imagine you have this backpack that you're carrying every day with you, and then at the end of the day, you've collected a lot of experiences and emotions, right? And moments. And then I'm reflecting about three questions basically. So first question: what was your main learning of the day? Second question: what's your heart moment? So really from the which touched your heart. And then the last question: what are you grateful for? Bearing that in mind and reflecting about these questions, you can learn a lot about yourself, keep growing.
I love those questions, and to take time to think about those questions more to inform, not to judge, because sometimes we can be our best critics. You know, I do that often with myself. I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. But to really reflect on what's important and what we're actually experiencing in that moment. I wonder if there's like a fourth question, like one that is around our stretch moments, you know, those challenging moments that are really hard, but then we don't like being in them, but then afterwards we realize, oh, I grew from that, or now I understand things better. I wonder if there's like a fourth question that would like support thinking about that stretch moment.
So reflecting about the point that you're mentioning and thinking about a potential question, I'm thinking first that why in the end, I think everything happens for a reason, which means if you reflect about that everything happens for a reason, you might be able to tackle all these challenges in a different way and with a different perspective. Because then for example, if you do something in brackets wrong or so, and you would self judge yourself at the end of the day when you reflect about yourself and so on, you might see it from a different perspective, because you see it as a learning experience, right? So potentially another question could be, why are we here? So what? Or maybe do something else. You ask yourself in the morning, what's the purpose? What's your intent for the day? Then you have the three questions that you're asking you at the end of the day. And just reflect on the fourth point about whether you fulfilled what you intended to experience during the day based on the purpose of what you wanted from the day, something like this.
Yeah. Your main learning, what truly touched your heart, and what are you grateful for? I mean, these are great questions. And I know there's a lot of research out there that says that, you know, these types of questions, if we really feel it in our bodies, that they do impact behavior change for sure. What I'm wondering is, when you think about the business world and the challenges that we have every day, the day-to-day conversations where we're triggered, or whether, I don't know, those tough moments, if there's a question that where we can take those tough moments, those moments of tension, and help us see the opportunity for growth, like a learning opportunity, something that helps us to take something from that. Not that we have to accept everything, but to learn from it. And there might be a message for us or information in that, and we can get that out of that question. Just one more question.
Just reflect on the fourth point about whether you fulfilled what you intended to experience during the day, based on the purpose of what you wanted from the day.
Okay, yeah, that's really nice. It's like, you know, my intention is to be curious, or my intention is to understand someone's perspective better. Anyway, we make these intentions, but they're not always easy to fulfill. Well, afterwards we'll be like, oh, did I do it? But we may fulfill those intentions in moments throughout the day, even if we don't really get it done throughout the whole day. But to have that question, you know, that it's like that question brings in the resilience amidst a context that will change, and it's not in our control, because things always change. There's always things that happen during the day that we can't control. And to think about our intention and the moments we're able to put into practice, or where we couldn't and what we can do next time, helps us to work on that resilience. And that's part of our journey and our growth. That's great.
So we kind of elevated this backpack. It's nice. So diversity creates innovation, right? Be there. I mean, we just created something new, which is cool. Very nice.
Yeah. Even though the scientists would probably call this highly effective listening. So Benny, you have an interesting story. Right now you are the vice president of people and culture at Just Spices. And yet there's a lot that happened before. So tell us about how you started to listen to your journey and what brought you here.
I grew up within a truly patchwork family. Yeah, and that's that kind of had, of course, its influence on me. When I was young, always in sports and, you know, a lot of energy and so on. And then I was very successful playing tennis and field hockey and basketball, like German championships. During that time, when I was 15, 16, I was reflecting already about my life and if I want to go for a sports career or something, right? I answered for myself, I didn't want to, because I wanted something else. Then I decided to study international business, because I truly wanted this international thing in there, because I was always also interested in cultures and languages and so on. I went to Maastricht in the Netherlands, my master's there, and that was a super nice journey already. I spent half a year in beautiful Madrid, enjoying the Spanish culture, and it was during that time I already thought whether I want to stay in Madrid, but then I reflect, well, also Germany is nice to go back. So that was one part, and then I jumped into career mode more or less. So after studies, I was really like, you need to go for this super career. I started a trainee program at Metro Cash & Carry Wholesaler. I did that for a couple of years. I was within the strategic department. Also have a kind of strategic brain, which I'm using a lot. But then I realized, you know, within this huge ship of Metro Cash & Carry International, I didn't have this impact. So I realized I want to do something else. There was this family business, my father, which my father invented, and a super famous art dealer, art consultant on the one hand, and then this hobby on the other hand, which was wrestling business, which if you don't care, can be very dangerous because you can lose a lot of money.
The restaurant?
Yeah.
The restaurant business.
Within the restaurant business. So basically we had three different restaurants during that time. It was 2009. I was young and took over the restaurant business as a general manager, realizing, well, of course, I was courageous on the one hand and naive on the other hand, and because I didn't have the experience knowing how to manage restaurants, right?
So I took it over, and then I didn't have a clue of the restaurant business itself. It's It was really a road with ups and downs. I knew from the beginning, honestly, like after the second day, it wasn't meant for me. Really, if I had listened to my stomach and my heart and my intuition, I knew it already. But it is as it is. Then you go through it, and well, after 5 years, that is a pretty long story. If I would tell a story, it takes maybe half an hour. But I kind of summarize. So the entire family business, so the art business and the restaurant business and everything that was part of the family business, broke down. So we were facing bankruptcies because my father, how do you say, committed a bribery, right? Yeah, bribery within the art business. There was something that happened. I mean, he'd realized what he did, in the end, he was super sorry and he reflected about it. So that's fine. But it was a harsh time, to be honest.
Or you had these certain ideas of what you wanted as a young person, as a student. And then eventually you got into the family business. This is what is expected of you, knowing that it was probably more for your parents than what you really wanted. And then everything crashes, like a serious crash, like your father got arrested, bankruptcy. I mean, this is serious stuff and you lose everything. And yet you find yourself, you're on your journey, you have children, you get your educational job, and then you eventually get to the current company, which is actually connected to your old company. It was a huge learning also financially.
Gosh, financially breakdown. Yeah. And it was June. June 2014, yeah, almost 10 years now, when that happened. And it was when he was arrested in June, and my wife and I we married in May, after 1 month. And we were away for a couple of days, and then there was this phone call, and you know, everything that happened. I found myself back end of 2014, having been able to manage all the bankruptcies in a way that I survived. Okay. Mm-hmm. But you know, everything else crashed. But on the other hand, it was an absolute release. So because the thing is, lost everything and found everything at the same time. And I lost everything that didn't belong to my true self. And during that time, I found my true self back, reflected a lot about life and purpose of life and why I'm here. And then I jumped into a new challenge. Besides that, my wife got pregnant during that time. So all, you know, if you ask parents, if you ask couples, when is the best time to go for children, you would opt for financial safety and everything which could be there, right? But it happened. And I also say that with your children, there's the luck which is coming back. I truly believed in that. So that was also the case for myself. Then I was opting for a new challenge. I found myself back at Education First, which I still love as a company. It was an amazing journey there. I was at Education First, so language traveling. I was working for Education First for more than 6 years, which of course had its impact on me as well. Languages, cultures, and you know, what I love. And the mission is open the world through education, which means a lot, right? If we would be able to really make sure that we educate people all over the world in a way that, I mean, imagine we would have within our schools not only going after math and history and, you know, but rather have something which is a spiritual class. From the beginning, you know, until the end, you just take it throughout the school journey. That would be something amazing. I'm just figuring. But coming back to Education First. So I had this great journey there, and the last couple of so I started within sales. I managed the entire sales for Education First Germany, and then the last part was HR. So I built the HR department. And then last bit before I entered Just Spices speedboat was that I met again one of the founders of Just Spices, who, and imagine that in 2012, when Just Spices was founded, tried to sell his spices at my restaurant. We were always in contact. So, but then in 2020, Just Spices was like really, really growing, and he asked for help for someone who's really, you know, after people and culture and owns that and believes in that and has the experience and so on. So that was me. We agreed on, I would enter the Just Spices journey, and now I'm here, 2024. 3 years time, scaling up startup, now being bought by Kraft Heinz 2 years ago, and going international. And yeah, it's a super interesting transition.
First of all, thank you for sharing your story. It's fascinating. So you were listening to this voice. I love what you said. You said the reason that you started working at Just Spices is that they wanted someone who owned the topic, not just the role, but the topic. And I would imagine that the reason that you owned it was because of all the experiences that you went through. And I'm curious, well, you said that you took, when you took the role at the restaurant working for your parents, that if you would have known how to listen to your heart, that you would have known within 2 days that it wasn't the right thing for you. When you were asked to do this role at Just Spices, what did your intuition tell you?
Now, still do it. You know, we are here in this state of mind and this state of consciousness and how we are because of our past experiences. That's it. And of course, my intuition knew back then what was right. But I was, I don't know, not happy during the time. Why? I would also say I was, I don't know, 98 or 99% of the time unconscious. As you're getting more conscious about what you're doing and so on, you also reflect more about what you're doing, right? But still, as you were asking, I answered out of intuition.
You know, I think it's interesting to be involved in taking care of people and culture in the context of hypergrowth. You mentioned a speedboat. It can be a different organization every 6 months or even every 3 months. It's like having kids. And as soon as you figure them out, they've done a growth spur or they have a growth spurt, and all of a sudden they're like bigger and doing different things. And what you thought you figured out doesn't work anymore. It's almost like kids having growth spurts, and it's hard to catch up, to keep trying to catch up. So I've seen this in companies that I've worked with before, and where there is just this constant change, and I'm sure it's not easy, but maybe you have some tips or some thoughts for leaders that can connect to listening and then how to manage in constant change and in hyper growth, even when there aren't really clear answers.
There's a lot on the question. You need to have a North Star. You should have for yourself, but for your people, everyone in the company, believing at best, right? Everyone in the company believing in this North Star, which is, I don't know, 5 to 10 years. I wouldn't even call it a vision or a mission or something. It's what you truly believe. For us, it's believing. Just Spices to be international, satisfying customers' needs to make the cooking easier, right? That is something you should have in your mind. But then don't forget to be here and now, always in the moment, because that you can change, right? That is super important during these hyper growth phases. Don't forget about getting still,
like quiet and still, exactly. Like quiet, reflective and still.
Quiet and still. Why is that? Let's take, for example, year 2023. you had certain goals, targets that you reached or you did not reach. Let's take the example, you reached your targets, okay? Then there might be a system where you earned bonuses, okay? Okay, that satisfies you for a moment. 2023 is past, 2024 is ahead, and let's go for 2024. Okay, but what was in between? Are companies really reflecting about years, about the time, about all the energy that people spend their lives and energy into what they are doing every day for the company? Are the CEOs of the world really reflecting about all the energy and the passion and everything that people put into the company's shoes that companies are able to grow, for example? And why I'm saying that is, you could also, for example, spend an entire day with your teams and reflecting, potentially January, what we are doing on Monday, about last year. What were the main learnings from all the different teams? And what are the key pillars that they take as actions going forward? Could be one tool or one idea, one method that you could use in order to pause for a second also, right? So you pause and you reflect about last year and give it enough room and also attention, reflecting, learning, and then moving forward. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I would say always also fall forward. If you reflect about success, so what does it mean? Well, we are successful. Okay, but what does it mean? Yeah, well, we are growing. Okay, but is growth only, if you are growing, then are you successful? Well, maybe when we are profitable also. Okay, so you want profitable growth. Yeah, that might be interesting, because then we don't depend on banks, for example, if the cash flow is great. Okay, cool. So really, really, really reflecting about what you want as a company, and then break it down to the entire organization and aligning on that. And doing all the phases that you're facing in company, it's like our people lives. It's like, so it's ups and downs. Important, you keep moving up in the end, although you're facing ups and downs. It's the constant increase, but don't even think that there won't be any down points, because it's as it is, and life is cycling. It will always be, but fall forward if you fall. That's important, and trust the process. Keep the positivity, the engine moving forward and not backwards. That's important.
Yeah, I was thinking there's a lot in what you said. First of all, this moment to pause and reflect, that's when things sink in, because often we are just going on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, and we really aren't in the here and the now. I hear this often from leaders when I'm coaching, that just to have this moment to like pause and reflect is like huge. And, you know, they're pretty smart. So just having that moment, it's amazing how quick they're able to pull things together. It doesn't take much time. Even this podcast, listening to this podcast or having this interview, is a moment to pause and reflect. Or when people write things down or having an outside perspective, those are moments of pausing and reflecting. You know, I hear this often, you know, people, and including myself, we're, you know, really yearning for these moments of pause. It nourishes our battery. And we often don't give ourselves the time, or we don't value it in the way that it makes a difference. And then this other thing that you said about falling forward, learning forward, that, you know, these ups and downs are going to happen. There's no way we can avoid them. And it's okay to have the down times, yet how do we learn forward? I would imagine that your family experience, and, you know, you had a really extreme experience of a crash, of a big down. But this probably has allowed you to learn that those time periods can be a time to get rid of things, or to clean your slate, or to get rid of things that don't help or don't serve anymore, and to invite in what will help in the moment. Yeah, I could imagine that this does impact your leadership.
And again, on this crash thing, and what we, so my wife and I created afterwards, I'm specifically now talking about my family. It's the most precious, grateful thing that is here for my life. My wife and my three children. It's so amazing. That's so important, right? And that is why that is why I'm following also the path of people and culture, because you can relate building your own family and growing your children or helping them to grow in the best way they can, respecting their true inner self and why they are here, at the same time to a company. Because what is happening there? So a lot of humans working together, struggling when working together, and you know, everything that happens. Respect who they are, right? And don't expect them to always follow what you think might be right from your point of perspective.
Yeah.
And there's that comes again to understanding and why truly active listening to everything which is there is so super important. People, I think, I don't know how your perception is. I mean, you are the expert here on active listening, right? I know. I mean, you've researched it so much, and you are the true expert, right? If you ask people about active listening, then the normal reaction would be, I assume, well, yes, I listen to what people say. Yeah, I do so. And then maybe they even forget about the active part of listening. And yeah, it's and that is, I assume, why you are also so interested in this topic, because it's, if you really go into the depths of active listening, then it starts with A and it ends with Z. And it starts with being here now, and it potentially end with, if you are here and then you listen to what others saying, so why they're speaking, what is their body language, and what, how could you interpret the if they raise their eyebrow, for example? There's so much to see, which we help us to get more empathetic and more understanding.
You know, in terms of what you're saying, it makes sense. Once you start to dive into listening, it gets huge. It's simple, yet if we start to really reflect on it, then we realize, hey, it's a whole body experience. It's a multi-sensory experience. It is multi-layered, and it's much bigger than we usually think of at first. And it's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. And the thing is that we think that we listen better than what we do, but most of us don't listen as good as what we think. We usually listen well to certain people in certain conditions in certain ways. And there are other people that we don't listen well to, or we don't listen to at all, or in certain conditions or in certain ways. When I'm feeling relaxed and everything is smooth, I may listen well. But if I'm under time pressure, or I feel like I need to protect my family, or someone triggers me, or there's a deadline, this will influence my listening and it will get worse usually. What I would like to explore more of, and we don't necessarily have to do all of that now, but I'd like to explore how to integrate listening into what we are already doing so that we can have more impact. Because we know that telling people to listen better is not enough. There's research out there that shows that training does help. That makes a difference, experiential training, even though there's not a lot of training programs out there or ones that have been researched empirically. You know, I was just thinking about spices. Imagine that we had this container of spices that you could shake into a board meeting, or shake into a team meeting, or shake into a performance review. You know, shake a little listening here, a little listening there. Then, you know, what would happen? How would shaking that listening into something impact the form it would take on that particular process? And if we could get more companies to play and practice with this, that'd be so cool. I was asked the other day, you know, about who are best practice leaders or companies on listening. I mean, I had some thoughts of people I'm connected to, but I struggled, and I reached out to my network, and I'll tell you what, and these are people who've been in the listening business, and very few, we could only come up with very few names. And there are companies that do things really well for a while, but the management changes and then it's, you know, then it's not there anymore. Or there's certain areas or certain leaders that are implementing listening practices that are best practice, but not the whole. So there's really a lot of opportunity here.
I totally agree. I love the idea of adding this spice box into like the listening spice box into meetings. That's super interesting. But then, yeah, true. And also question is, how do you measure active listening in the end, right?
Yeah, that's a tough one because it is often the perception of the speaker, whether they feel listened to, even though there's new research in the last few years that are where they're able to really break down the different listening components and we're able to see things in a lot of different ways. Kind of like one scientist, Abby Kluger, said, it's like Galileo seeing the stars for the first time. So there's a lot of new research. But then if you think about business results like belonging, retention, burnout, performance, this stuff, now the scientists are starting to understand these downstream results impacts a lot more. So the scientists are working in that. We're just getting into there. And so far it's if organizations only recognize how big this was, they'd be tapping into this already.
Yeah, it's fairly new, but thanks for this talk. And it's inspiring me right now, reflect about the Gespice's company values. And then reflecting about the Gespice company values, we have certain values that we are reflecting about right now. I don't want to mention them because then we're it's maybe taking too much time again. But what I want to say is, as we are reflecting about the values right now and we're forming future values that better match our future vision of what we are aiming at, right? I kind of truly like the aspect of integrating active listening as a part of a certain value to have it really specified. Because, and then the question, of course, is what are company values and so on. But in the end, it should be reflected in the beliefs of people. And then if you believe in something, you are also acting alike, you know?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
If you match that with leadership principles, so if you ask me, all leaders should be empathetic and at the same time capable of at least try to active listen.
Maybe it's hard to define, like, how do we know we are really listening? It's not just a feeling. It doesn't mean agreement or that everything's going to be smooth. So, you know, how do we really know that we're listening? And how do we reflect back the actions taken because of the listening? I think there's a gap. And I noticed this also in myself. We often forget to communicate to our stakeholders what we have done based on that listening because we're on to the next thing. We're getting things done, right? We keep going. And then they perceive us as not listening. So that full circle communication is really, really important and part of the listening process. I mean, if you want to think in terms of connection, not only understanding, but connection. So I just want to thank you for helping me to think out loud with you. Benny, as we come to the end of your interview, is there anything else that you would love to share with our listeners today?
I'd say at least let's try to be here when we are here in this world consciously and reflect about it. I want to reflect about a life where I truly appreciated that you can matter. And I think the more you are in the present moment and appreciate and be grateful for this journey in life, this can be magical. Yes. So reflect, comparing or seeing it in terms of active listening, be there and don't get overwhelmed, which you can easily be in this world, by the fastness, by the information overload, by everything that you can be exposed to when you don't self-care. There it comes to the self-management. Try to be there for yourself, because when you are there for yourself, you can be also caring for others, which might play into being empathetic and understanding. And the world now and for the future, now especially, needs more understanding.
That is a beautiful message. Thank you so much for being on the Listening Superpower podcast, Benny. If people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Easy. LinkedIn. I would say LinkedIn. There you find me. I'm not on too many other tools or networks, but LinkedIn is the most easiest way.
We will put the link in the notes. And once again, it was really a pleasure to have you and to have this creative and thought-provoking interview about listening, about being present, about self-care, about purpose, and trusting the process, even when everything seems like it's about ready to crash. But maybe it's an opportunity to let go of what is not you and to invite in what is you. So thank you, Benny.
I'm your host, Raquel Ark, and you have just enjoyed your Listening Superpower podcast. This is an independent show, so please show your support by subscribing, leaving a 5-star review, and sharing with your friends. I love to hear from my listeners, what you love, what questions you have, any great guests that you have for the podcast. Email me at listeningsuperpower@gmail.com or send a voicemail at +49 173-234-0722. Check out listeningalchemy.com if you want to help your team communicate more effectively together. We focus on evidence-based listening strategies, and we do it in a playful and experiential way so that your team can work better and feel better together. Thank you, Cecilia Mercado, for your amazing podcast production, Ivo Thiemann for your inspiring music, and Dorte Streicher for your impactful artwork. It's been fun, and see you on the next episode.